Thank you for tuning into the Freedom Church podcast, where you can catch our Sunday sermon on demand at any time. Hit the subscribe button so you don't miss out on any of the content that's shared every week at our local church in Round Rock, Texas. Here's this week's sermon.
Good morning, Freedom Church. How are you doing, man? So excited. Good to see people in the house of God. One of the things that I'm so thankful as a pastor is your generosity and your faithfulness and your giving. And here's what I want you to know. When you give, it's not that you give to the church, you give through the church. Let me just say that you're not giving to the church, you're giving through the church. And one of the things that we do is 10% of everything that comes in, we give to missions and outreach. And I want you to hear this morning, I remember if you guys, about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, Bob Godwin came and he shared, him and his wife Chrissy, that they wanted to start a church in Tallinn, Estonia, the least religious city in the world. And they did it by God's grace. God is moving. Awesome. Bob, come and give us an update about how God is moving in Tallinn and the families that are being restored. And thank you for giving, because this is what your giving does. Bob, yes. Mad love for you, bro.
Our team, but she's a beautiful lady, and she's sharing in another congregation. So thank you for letting her not be here today. But we're so excited to be able to be here today with you all. It really is, when we do get to come home, one of the greatest and exciting parts of our lives is just to be able to come back to the churches and say, this is what God's doing. And you are a significant part, because you pray for us. You send it, ascending us, and making it possible for us to be here. So thank you for doing it. I want you to see just a couple of pictures as we kind of go through. This was our first service, launch day service 19 months ago. And it was an amazing day. The great part is what you guys already know, how exciting it is to be able to see your family, your friends, your colleagues, your classmates, those that you're just connected with, every day, day in, day out, and you invite them to come and be a part of what God's doing in your life. And that's what happened on that day. About half of those who came were very first-time people. Most of them had no idea even really what they were going to, because they just have no idea of what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Some of the next photos, I just want to share with you some of the stories. This is really kind of the next move on to the amazing things that God has been doing, is just the connection into the community. And you guys have seen it, because I've been watching you on Facebook and online, but you've seen the favor that God's given to you in the community. You guys know what I'm talking about? Just open doors. You could never do it, but God does. And so this is what's happened. This is right in front of the city zoo. Right in front of the city zoo. They said, yeah, come and do a family day. So we invited all kinds of organizations to join us. We celebrated family on that day. We had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that came through, conversations, children. It was just an amazing time. But this just moves us right on to so many other things. We get to work with the youth center, the government youth center. Every week we have people in there working with kids, loving kids, and so many of them are struggling in just family dynamics. And so God is giving opportunities. Even we've seen several of these kids come to know Jesus already. And then it's just pushed us into connections, into relationships, like with this couple, Aneta and Erki, who are followers of Christ. But they just represent so, so many who are coming right now. Just a little bit over of a third of our congregation are new followers of Christ within this last year. And so it's phenomenal to see them. I want you to go to the next one, if you guys could. This is Mari and Melis. Melis suffers or struggles every day with a disability. He has his whole life. It's a blood disorder. But he came to know the Lord through one of our team members who was just they happened to come and connected. And so he got to begin to hear just how much God loved him, and it was brand new to him, and what God wanted to do in his life, in his family. And God, about 7 months ago, he gave his heart to Christ. Mari came to know Jesus. They've got a little boy named Lucas. But the amazing thing is he's telling his friends, and these friends who are disabled. Malis is an artist. He does graphic artists and works for a bank, and he's phenomenal. He does everything with his toes, and he leads this art organization, and he is just so free in communicating by email and notes to them, just what Jesus has done in his life. One of the young men that he's helped to reach is a young man that can only move his head. Only move his head. Every day, he's just completely still. He has no movement in his body. He does everything with a pen on an iPad. They've communicated and communicated. He gave his heart to Christ about 2 months ago. Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome.
That's what God is doing. So I want you to see another one here, if you could, with me. We use Alpha as a tool to help people, because so many of our people have no idea what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But this is Ivica, Armando, Natalia, Janos, and Sander, and so many others. But we've had over 25 people come to know Jesus just through our Alpha. We've had 7 teenagers go through Alpha. They're finishing that up in about 2 weeks. It's just incredible, because every week they're coming closer and closer and closer to making decisions of following Jesus. So the next one, I just want you to see this, because it just leads us to a time of just asking you how to pray for us. One of the things that we want you to do is pray for the new believers as they're learning how to be followers of Jesus. What does it really look like to be a follower of Jesus? And then secondly, just our ongoing connection to our personal communities and to our larger community, everywhere we're going, every week, but to our neighbors, our families, and friends. But also for our planting team, this is Audley and Maitland. We've got 4 team members that are on the way, and we want you to pray for them as they're preparing to go. We're hoping to have all of them on the ground by June, because we've got a big summer plan for them, but they're all going to be with us at least 2 years. And so I want you to pray for them. But also, as we're preparing for the next steps in our planting work, Life Church, Elu Kogodus, is doing super, super good. It's growing, it's developing, but we're preparing for our next steps into community. So thank you for praying with us for this. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Bob, go to stay up here. Man, this is awesome. There's some of you guys that went to Estonia several years ago. We took a trip out there, and man, there wasn't a church, and now there's a church. Let me tell you, more than ever, I believe that the church is the hope of the world. They asked Billy Graham one day, if you could go over and do your life again, what would you do? He says, I would plant myself in one city, in one place, and I would make a difference in that one area, because the church is how God moves through people. Bob, man, we want to bless you financially. What's a need that you have right now? Maybe we could have... Let's see maybe what the Lord's doing.
Well, it's into the community.
Into the community. Yes. For outreach.
So outreach. It's connection into families.
We support Bob every week. Every month we give him monthly support. But we're going to pick up a special offering. So if you're online, you can give online. You can go down and just put it on the missions tab. If you're here, you can also give online. You can text, or you can give in the offering buckets in the back. But let's just pray, because just make sure, make the check out to Freedom Church, and then put Bob and Carissa Godwin, or just put Estonia out there. But we want to make a difference in this place, right? That's what God's called us to do. We're a church that believes that God's bigger than Texas. You know, His heart is for the world. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We pray, Lord God, for everything that you're doing in Estonia. And we thank you, Lord, that you let us be a small part. Oh, Lord, all of us get to be a small part of what you're doing, Jesus. And today we want to be a prayer and giving, Lord. Amen. This week I read an article entitled, Your Mom Lied to You. And in this article, it was about all the unknowing lies that mama told us growing up. As I read the article, I began to make note of some of the lies that my mom told me. Here's one of the lies my mom told me. You need to put hydrogen peroxide on that. How many guys have you had a mom that told you that? How many moms are you telling your kids that? Man, you had hydrogen peroxide in the cabinet. It turns out that those healing bubbles are actually attacking your body. That's crazy, right? According to research I found, it says hydrogen peroxide can cause cellular damage that actually extend the healing process. So next time you put hydrogen peroxide, know that you are making the cut last longer. Here's another lie my mom told me growing up, that cracking your knuckles will lead to arthritis. How many of you were told this? It turns out that according to the latest knuckle crackling research, cracking your knuckles does not lead to arthritis. One study was done by a doctor from California named Dr. Donald Unger, who'd studied this for 60 years of experimentation. He cracked the knuckles on his left hand twice a day for 60 years, and in his right hand, he left those knuckles alone, completely uncracked. After the end of 60 years, he found that there's no difference. But there's been many serious studies done on this particular topic. And the studies have shown that knuckle crackling does not cause arthritis. I thought this morning we would celebrate the good news together, okay? Man, this is, man, I want to count to three, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to crack our knuckles. I know for some of you it's going to be hard to disobey your mama, but let's just embrace that inner rebel right now, okay? Right now, on the count of three, let's crack our knuckles and be set free from this lie. All right, one, two, three. Crack him, yes. Doesn't that feel so good? Good. Man, here's the biggest lie mama told me. It says, don't swallow your gum because it takes 7 years to pass through your digestive system. How many of you guys were told that lie? Man, I lived with the fear that gum was just piling up in my stomach. I could see it there. But the colonoscopy research on this says that gum digests just like everything else. Even if you swallow it, you're fine. So the next time you're chewing that gum and you want to swallow it, just swallow it. It's no big deal. My point that there are certain things that we just accept and we go with it. And here's the truth I want to tell you this morning. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. Let me say that again. A lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it was true. And this morning, we're going to continue our series, Mastermind, by learning to separate the devil's lies that fill our minds with the truth of God's word. See, Jesus in John chapter 8 described the devil as the father of all lies. But Jesus, and later on in that chapter, says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And my prayer for you all week long is that you would be set free from the lies that maybe you've been believing. So I want everybody to bow our heads and close our eyes, and let's just pray the Lord just reveals truth. Lord, I pray right now, God, if there was any area that I'm believing a lie, just say, Lord, show me if there's any places I'm believing a lie right now. Set me free in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, the devil doesn't have to tie you up to put you in prison. He's got to put a lie in your mind. Thoughts develop into patterns of behavior that determine the directions of our lives. If you pause for a moment right now, maybe you got up angry. Why are you so angry? Because you need to chill out. No, just kidding. It starts with a thought. It might be you feel like something was owed to you, somebody did you wrong, somebody said something to you, and that thought just begins to burn and burn and burn. How many of you guys can relate to that? Thought causes us to be angry. See, your emotions are driven by your thoughts, and your thoughts drive your actions. And if you can't control what you think, you can't control what you do. That's why the greatest battle going on for your soul is not the spiritual warfare with angels and demons. It's the battle that's happening in your mind. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 3 through 5, Paul tells us how to win the battle of the mind. Let's read it this morning. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And here's what we learned, that your mind is a battlefield. Notice, in three short verses, Paul uses seven different militant terms, talking about the battle that's going on in your mind. He uses the word war, weapons, fight, demolish, strongholds, arguments, and captive. The English dictionary says a battlefield is this. It's the field or ground upon which a battle is fought. Or another definition would be an area of contention, conflict, or hostile opposition. A battlefield is a place where battles are won and lost. Every day, every moment, there's a battle going in your mind. You know that researchers tell us that you think 70 thoughts a day. Let me tell you, every one of those thoughts are a battlefield. Some of those are good thoughts and some of those are bad thoughts. And the strategy of the devil is to fill those thoughts with lies, because a lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. And if a thought can stick in your mind, it will come out in your life. It's like the great theologian Kung Fu Panda said this in his first animated movie: before the battle of the fists comes the battle of the mind. Proverbs 23:7 says this: as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Everything, great or small, good or bad, starts with a thought. Henry Ford had a thought of a horseless carriage, and his thought became Ford Motor Company. Walt Disney's ideas revolutionized family entertainment, gave us Disney World, and messed us with a $10.99 subscription to Disney Plus, right? Steve Jobs had an idea of innovating and changing the way we do life, and now he has everybody addicted to social media and their iPhones, right? Good things started as thoughts and they grew into bigger things. But do you know that also horrible things start as thoughts? Murder, adultery, pornography. All of those things start with a thought that evolved into a reality. That's why the devil wants to get in your head and fill it with lies and deception. And Paul in verse 4 says this: when we believe the lies, they become what? Strongholds. See that word there? They become strongholds, and what do? They set themselves up against the knowledge of God. What is a stronghold? A stronghold, the Greek word for stronghold is the word okoruma. It means to fortify. It's a strong castle. It literally, one commentator says, it's a prisoner locked up by deception and lies. So let me illustrate a stronghold for you this morning. It would be kind of like this rope. Do you know how they train baby elephants in the circus? They take them when they're still young and they're still small and they're still impressionable, and they tie a rope around their neck. And the baby elephant, they naturally want to walk away, but they're stopped by the rope. They push and they pull and they turn and they twist and they try to get out of the rope, but it continues to hold them because they're not strong enough. So they stop resisting and they just stay where they are. The same thing happens over and over and over, eventually, till all of a sudden, they no longer pull and they no longer push to get free. So literally this, as a baby elephant, they train them. They put a stronghold around their neck and they keep them contained. They keep them trapped. This big old powerful force of an animal, this animal that would grow up and begin to snap this like a twig, is all of a sudden controlled because there was a mentality and a mindset around them that stopped them from moving forward. That's why in captivity, you can walk by a circus and you see these giant elephants standing passively with a rope tied around their necks, and there's not attached to anything at all. They've trapped their mind to believing that they're contained into this small area and they cannot be everything that God created them to be, this powerful, ferocious animal. And my question for you this morning is, what thoughts, what strongholds are wrapped around your mind that are stopping you from being everything that God wants you to be? What things have you? What ways of thinking have stopped you in your little 4x4 world when God says inside of you is the hope of glory? And this morning, my prayer is that God would begin to unravel and unbreak and break every chain in your mind this morning. Some of you have strongholds in your mind that have controlled your life for years, thoughts that affected your self-esteem and your family. Thoughts that have addicted you to alcohol and pornography. Thoughts that have you living a life that's pleasing to others. This is what I would say about a stronghold. A stronghold is a mental obsession. Why can't I stop thinking about this? Why can't I stop thinking this way? Why does my mind always go there? Why do I always feel like there are these barriers? Why do I always hit a glass ceiling? Because if something sticks in your head, it can control your actions. And it could be fears, anxieties, compulsions to do things. Bitterness, anger, lust, insecurity, greed can be strongholds. And this morning, I want to give you some tools to break free from the strongholds. The first place to start with winning the battle of the mind is this: identifying the strongholds in your life. You can't defeat what you don't define. If you do not define what the enemy is, you can't. An enemy that is undefined is always undefeated. We must identify these wrong areas of thinking. Then we need to repent. Then we need to replace them with God's truth. I want to give you 5 very common categories of strongholds. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's a lot of them. The first one could be a material stronghold. The thoughts sound like this: if I only had more money, a different car, a better house, if only I had a better paying job, then I'll be happy. How many of you guys know there's never a then when you're going to be happy? If I only made this much money, if I only could pay this certain thing, if I could only pay off this debt, I could feel more secure. First, before you do anything, you got to find security in Christ. That's a stronghold. Maybe a material stronghold goes like this: why doesn't God bless me the way he's blessing them? Why is everybody has nice things and not me? God, have you forgotten me? This thinking leads to jealousy and envy that put us wrapped in a stronghold. Maybe you worry about money all the time instead of trusting God. You trust money and stuff to bring you fulfillment and security. Let me tell you, that's a stronghold. You need to repent. You need to acknowledge that. And you need to fill it with God's word. Another stronghold could be an addictive stronghold. You're addicted to something. It's a habit. You have to have it. Some of you are addicted to $4 Starbucks drinks, and that's why you're broke all the time. Just saying. Kidding? Not kidding. Some people are addicted to alcohol or drugs. I have counseled people who have been addicted to pornography or alcohol, and they tell themselves, I can quit at any time, but they haven't been able to quit in 20 years. The third thing is a physical stronghold. You look in the mirror and you say, I don't like my body. I wish I was different. I wish I was taller, shorter, smaller. I wish I didn't look like this. I wish I was different. Some people are addicted to eating. You say, man, after dinner, I can't believe I ate the whole thing. Others, on the flip side, are addicted to going to the gym. You go twice a day. If you miss one time, you're like, man, oh, my arms are shrinking. The next one is kind of painful. It's a relational stronghold. You don't have good relationships. You're bitter. You're cynical. You're mad. You're judgmental. You think everybody's out to get you. You don't relate well with your mom, your dad, your husband. You don't have any close friends. You feel alone. Everywhere you go, you feel like the victim. You're a victim at the house. You're a victim with your friends. You're a victim at the job. Let me tell you, if you're the one constant, it's probably not everybody else's problem. It's probably your problem. And it's a stronghold that needs to be broken, a relational stronghold. The final category is what I call a spiritual stronghold. The foundation of this stronghold is this: you don't trust God. You want to be in control. You want to be in control of your finances. You want to be in control of your life. You want to be in control of your sexuality. That's why at the core of every stronghold is this: it's not trusting God. It's us wanting to be in control. And strongholds are invisible ropes that are tied around our minds that keep us from moving forward. So right now, this is what I want you to do. We're going to take a moment. We're going to pray. Lord, identify the strongholds. Holy Spirit, right now, show your people strongholds that have kept them back. Let him speak to you. He's speaking to some of you. Show them the strongholds. Now they show repent. Say, God, I realize I'm thinking wrong in this area. And now the next thing you need to do, and we'll talk about that, is replacing those strongholds with the word of God. So that's a big first step. Define the stronghold. The second step is take control of your thoughts. We must take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ and his word. See, any thought that you don't take captive will take you captive. The word "we take captive" in the Greek, it literally means to capture. It means to be under the control of. See, let me tell you this. We can't keep a bird from flying over our heads, right? Sometimes crazy thoughts. How many of you guys have had crazy thoughts this week? We all did, right? Man, tell on yourself. We all do. But man, we cannot stop from having a crazy thought, but we can stop it from building a nest. We can't stop a bird from flying over our head, but we can shoo it away. It's when it builds a nest that it gets in trouble. A thought itself isn't bad. But see, here's how the devil works. First, he wants to get your attention with a thought. Then he wants you to have an attitude. And then he wants you to commit the action. Because what starts in your mind eventually comes out in your life. That's why Paul says this: we take captive every thought. When I first moved to Austin to plant a church, man, I was so excited what God was going to do. You know, God, we need a church more than ever. We need several churches because people's lives need to be changed. There are people in our city, in our community that need Jesus. There are marriages that are falling apart. Let me tell you, we're not just here to see a good song and a sermon. God has put us in here for a mission. And I'm not, man, that's another sermon altogether, but it's burning in me. Now's the time like never before to be the church. And man, when I came to start this church, man, I said, Lord, whatever it takes. I worked 5 jobs, some humiliating jobs, some difficult jobs, just so we can be able to tell Jesus to our city and to our world. One of the jobs I had was a rent-a-cop. This was during the time when Paul Blart, the mall cop, came out. Jennifer said she loved a man in uniform, and she wanted to take my pictures, make fun of me, and put it on Facebook and on Instagram. So I said, I can, but she never did. You know why? Because she was asleep when I had to be at work every morning at 5 in the morning. And when I drove up, I made sure I went to the closest restroom and I took off my shirt. I don't want to be caught dead in an Instagram picture. That's why you'll never find a picture of me with Paul Blart, the mall cop. I was eating a lot that time, so I kind of looked like him too. But one of my assignments was working at this place in the convention center in Austin. It was called the Supercomputer Conference. They had multi-million dollars worth of computers. And it was at the downtown convention center in Austin. And there was all kinds of people from all over the world. And I had a pretty intense job. My job was to monitor the entrance and not let anyone inside of the convention unless they had the right identification. So I would check the identification, made sure they came in. If they didn't have, several people tried to get in, and you know what I did? I pulled out my flashlight and I put them over the head because they don't let you carry. You know, you observe and report if you're a security officer. But a couple people tried to get in without the right identification. And Paul says that. You need to stop every thought from getting into your mind if it does not line up with the Word of God. We must build a security system in our mind. We need to be diligent and says, okay, this thought does not line up with the Word of God. Pull out that flashlight, hit him on the knees and say, you ain't getting in. So let's practice this morning. I want to be really practical. Let's practice taking our thoughts captive this morning. Right now, I want you to know, under no circumstances, think about the color green. Don't think about green. Don't think about green lights. Don't think about green screens. Don't think about green. I don't want you to think about green money. Don't think about green money on the screens. Do not think about green money on the screens. Well, I mean, I don't want you to think about green 4-leaf clovers. I don't want you to think about that. Whatever you do right now, do not think about the color green, okay? No green, no green, 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 green. Don't think about green, okay? Let's go on. How many of you guys did well in that? You're like, I'm doing well. Okay. Let's go on. It's going to get more intense. Each challenge is going to get more intense. Right now, whatever you do, I don't want you to think about dogs. Under no circumstances, don't think about dogs on the screen. Don't think about those cute little beady eyes. Don't look to the back right there and look at Pastor Jonathan as he's coming in here. Man, don't think that somebody is interrupting my service right now and walking their dogs in the middle of the service. Whatever you do, don't think about little small half dogs that are just walking. Do not think about dogs. Do not think about Pastor Jonathan. Do not think about dogs right now. Okay. Guys, you aren't doing very well. Y'all are thinking about dogs. Now this is serious. Talked it over the staff. This is serious. We're all coming to this one because we're warming up. We're all adults. We're all mature. In just a moment, we're going to do something that I want you, under no circumstances, I don't want you to look at the side screens at all. Please don't do that. For the next several moments, I worked extra hard this week so you can just keep your attention on this. Because in just a moment, the media team is going to put naked people on the screens. Seriously. And you're going to be looking here. I'm serious. You're not looking at the screens, and in no circumstances you'll be looking here. Okay, right here. I'm serious. Naked people will be on the screens. Look here. Look right here. Let's count three. One. Count three. Two. Three. Go. Go. Look at the screens. It's the words naked people. I'm not here like, man, Pastor B has lost his mind. He's going to have naked people on the screens. No, I'm not going to do that. Some of you are like, whiplash. It's like some revival in church. When I said, don't think about green, what were you thinking about? Green. When I said, don't think about dogs, what were you thinking about? Dogs. When I said, I'm going to show you naked people, you thought you were about to see naked people. I said, my boy, James, in the middle. He's like, Lord, no, I'm taking every thought captive. He's putting his head down. Not on this day. But what happens is this. Whatever we resist persists. It's a principle. Whatever we resist persists. Whenever we say, I don't want to think about this, I'm not going to think about this, I'm not going to think about this, I'm not going to think about this, we end up thinking about it even more. The key to getting a bad idea out of your mind is not to resist it, replace it. Write that down. The way to get a bad idea out of your mind is not to resist that idea, it's to replace the idea. It's like this. If you're watching TV, you're like, I don't like it, I don't like it, I don't like what I'm watching. You don't sit down there and say, I don't like this, I don't like this. What do? You change the channel. And the same thing, we need to change the channel in our mind. Because you start thinking about something else. You don't resist the bad thoughts, you replace them with good thoughts. And if you're going to win the battle of the mind, you need to replace them. That's what Pastor Joel said. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are just, whatever things are good report, we got to meditate on those things. We got to put God's word in our heart. We just can't be consumed with all the bad thoughts. When the moment of bad thoughts come in, we got to have our mind full with the word of God and replace it with the word of God. The third thing that Paul tells us to do to win the battle of the mind, I just said it, replace the lies with the truth of God's word. We get in trouble when the voice of the world is stronger than the voice of the word of God in our lives. And the battle of the mind is won by replacing lies with truth. When the devil puts lies in your mind that say, I'm not smart enough, I can't do this, I'll never amount to anything, man, I'm so afraid, you got to replace it with what Paul wrote to Timothy. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power of sound mind and self-control. When you feel like you can't do it, you got to say, Lord, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of me. I'm empowered by the Holy One of Israel, and God has given me the ability. When the past screams at you that says you're hopeless, you're useless, you're not good enough, you'll never measure up, you got to tell yourself, I'm alive and Christ, I'm a new creature, I'm greatly loved, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let me tell you, there's a way and a pathway to win the battle of the mind. Look what Paul says in verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Here's the truth, that the battle for your mind is not won in the natural, it's won in the supernatural. Willpower, self-discipline will not win the battle of the mind. That's why rehab rarely works. We have to use supernatural weapons. And the supernatural weapons are the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in another letter this. Do not in Romans 12:2, he says this. Do not conform any longer to the pattern, to the way of the thinking of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When the Bible talks about our minds, it uses words like darkened, depraved, corrupted, carnal, and it needs to be transformed supernaturally. That's when some of us, when you look back at our way of life, you say, what was I thinking when I did that? I'm not even the same person. I can't believe I did that. You know why? Because the Bible says that the carnal mind cannot understand the things of God, and your mind was under a stronghold and needed to be made new. That's why you look at some of the things that you did, and you say, I'm not that person. It's because you're not that person. Your mind was made new. The word transformed in the Greek is where we get the word metamorphosis. That God changes our personality by the word of God through the Holy Spirit. Psychologist says at a certain age, your personality set. But for some of us that experience Jesus, we realize that there's a moment when God can change your personality by the word of God and through the Holy Spirit. Though your personality was set at age, when you came in contact with God, he changes everything. See, God can change your mind in a moment and make you new. Some people have had stories of their entire lives. They're addicted to alcohol, addicted to drugs, addicted to whatever. And in a moment, God changed them. It happened with my grandpa Frescas. He heard the gospel for the first time after being controlled by alcohol. He heard the gospel and he never had a desire for that again. God can do that. I've seen him do that. He does that with many people. But let me just say this. The Bible just doesn't teach a deliverance model. It also teaches a discipleship model. So though God does change people in a moment, for the most of us, God changes us gradually. And the gradual change happens with this. He gives us a new desire And then with that new desire, we need to apply biblical discipline. Sometimes God will deliver you, but for most of us, he gives us new desires, and those desires need the discipline of spiritual disciplines to bring a brand new way of thinking. See, we must learn to train our minds to win the battle. Because it's not just what you do with your mind, it's what you put in it. Like Jennifer always asks me this, Benito, you work out all the time. You go work out. Like, why aren't you changing? True story. I don't know what she's talking about. Can you? Here's the reality. Because some battles are won, not in the gym, but in the kitchen. It doesn't matter what you work out because of all the stuff you're putting in. And sometimes what we do is we try to say, God, I want to win the battle of the mind. I'm going to pray this when we don't fill it with the word of God, when we don't control our thoughts, when we do all these things and we're struggling. We're trying to work, but God says you got to put it inside of you because like Pastor Joel says, your input determines your outcome. So let me give you real practical way as we close, as the band comes up, on how to train your mind. And it's a simple acrostic. I heard one of my mentor preachers tell me years ago, it's called Think Before You Act. It's an acrostic. And T stands for this. Test every thought. Don't automatically think it. Don't automatically think because you thought it. It's true. Test your thoughts to see if it lines up with the word. H stands for this. Helmet your head. The Bible says to put on the helmet of salvation. Just like we talked about earlier, we need to guard our minds by replacing evil thoughts and ungodly thoughts with the word of God. Don't resist your thoughts. Replace your thoughts. I is this, imagine good thoughts. Stop thinking negatively. You can't have a positive life with a negative outlook. And just to be clear, I'm not talking about positive thinking. I'm not talking about new age. I'm not just talking about positivity is a replacement for God. What I'm saying, positivity is not a replacement for God. It's a response to God in the gospel. It's meditating on the word of God. It's thinking about the word of God. It's constantly right there and allowing the word of God that's inside of you. You don't get positivity just from yourself. You get positivity from a God who spoke the world into existence, who's bigger than you can imagine, who is the uncreated creator of the universe. And to know that he's in your side, you should be the most positive person in the world because all things work out for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's real positivity right there, rooted in the gospel. And N stands for nourish a godly mind. You go to any nutritionist and they'll basically tell you there are three kinds of categories of food. There's brain food, there's junk food with basically empty calories, and there's toxic food which poisons you and it'll hurt you. You can fill with your, you can fill our mind with junk food all the time. There's plenty of junk food in our culture. Just get on social media, listen to music, watch a movie, binge on Netflix. Junk food isn't necessarily poisonous. It's just filling. You get so much of a feel of the things of this world, you have no more desire for God's word. It's kind of like when you ate a whole bunch of junk food right before Thanksgiving dinner, and you don't feel like eating the main meal. And for many of us, many Christians, we're so full of junk food. We're so full of Netflix. We're so full of social media. We've put so much junk in our lives that we have no desire for God. And my challenge to you right now, if you want to win the battle of the mind, you got to learn to meditate on God's word. And that's not only true of your gut, it's true of your brain too. There's toxic food. Pornography is toxic food. New age and cultic literature is toxic food. Astrology is toxic food. Some music is toxic. God's word is brain food and it renews us. And K is this, keep on learning. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus if you don't keep on growing, keep on learning. The word disciple means learner. Our mission statement in Freedom Church is this, that everyone would develop into a fully committed follower of Jesus Christ. You've heard the saying that an idle mind is the devil's playground, and it's true. God has created you with capacity. God has created you with a vision. God's created you to do something, not just sit in a service, not just enjoy life, but he's created you with a purpose. And the reason so many of us are just so bored and so disinterested and so lethargic to the things of God, we're not growing, we're not learning, and God wants us to follow Him. If God's going to do all the things He wants to do in this church, it means we got to step out of our comfort zones. We got to go after God. We got to say, God, no matter what it takes, Lord, if I have to work 5 jobs, God, if I have to be a security officer, God, no matter what I got to go through, but Lord, I want to keep on going because the gospel is that important. We need to do that. So where are you growing? Where are you learning? Where are you stretching yourself? Maximize yourself in the Lord.
Thanks again for listening to the Freedom Church podcast. We hope that you were inspired and motivated to continue to grow in your faith. Don't forget to subscribe and share with others.